This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Denise and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Look at that. We're already at Wednesday.
I know. It's hump day.
Woohoo!
I'm sitting here going through my little pre-show ritual of jazz hands and getting all fired up to go. It's Wednesdays with Denise.
Yeah. I'm looking for the camel.
You're looking for... I left him in the car.
Oh, okay. It's hump day.
Yeah. Not really very fresh. I didn't want to bring him in.
They never are. I heard that about
them. They're very difficult. He was copping an attitude with me and I left him in the car.
Nice.
Well, yeah, it is Wednesdays with Denise and it's good to be here. I always love my Wednesdays coming over to KYKN to talk about all kinds of things. And I want to start off today's show by reading a quote because it's going to segue quite nicely into our guest and the organization that she represents.
Okay.
So the quote is, "We are not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies. Though passion may have strained, it must not break our bonds of affection. The mystic chords of memory will yet swell the chorus of the union when again touched, as surely they will be, by the better angels of our nature." That is a quote from Abraham Lincoln in 1861. And the reason I am reading that quote to open today's show is that our guest today is Cynthia O'Brien, and she is representing the Portland chapter of an organization that I have recently discovered and I'm very, very pleased to have her on, Better Angels. Cynthia, welcome to Newsmakers with Wednesdays with Denise.
Thank you, Denise. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you. So that quote is important. I think any of us, a lot of our listeners tend to be a little bit more politically active. They've been involved. They've been paying attention for a long time. They know what's going on. I think, and I'm sure, Dave, you can relate to this too. Civil discourse in this country has gotten not so
out of
civil.
Control.
It's not so civil.
Yeah.
So, Cynthia, first of all, let's find out a little bit about you and what you do up in the Portland area, and then let's dive into Better Angels and what your role is with Better Angels.
Yeah, sure. Well, thanks again for having me. This is really wonderful. So my name is Cynthia O'Brien, and I work in Woodburn.
Mm-hmm.
I am married to a high school math teacher.
Ah.
We have two daughters. One is at Oregon State, mm-hmm. and the other is at the University of Oregon.
Oh, that's interesting.
So we have a duck and a beaver, and we're very excited about that. With Better Angels, I have been trained as a certified moderator. Mm-hmm. I developed our local website and I've been a delegate to the national convention.
Wow. Okay. So for those, Better Angels is a relatively new organization. It was founded in 2016.
After the 2016 election. So getting into 2017.
Yeah. So it's about a little over 3 years mm-hmm. old. So the problem, civil discourse, like when we opened up the show, a lot of us have that sense that things are not so civil. We used to be able to agree to disagree. You know, it just seems like it's become more difficult to do that. Can you talk a little bit about how Better Angels identifies the problem? And then let's move into what some solutions might be.
Sure. Well, we are really concerned about polarization, mm-hmm. and that simply means not being able to talk across the political divide.
Yeah.
We tend to retreat into our own echo chambers.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trusting other people's best intentions.
Mm-hmm.
We see diversity on our own side of opinion, but we don't see it on the other side. So it's a civil rancor that I think threatens us and threatens our democracy.
So what was the impetus? First of all, who were the founders of Better Angels, and what was the impetus for them to see this need, to get that sense that there's this need and to start this organization?
So David Blankenhorn mm-hmm. in New York and David Lapp in Ohio, mm-hmm. They had worked on other things together, and they decided that they wanted to really find out what the people on the other side were thinking when they voted for either Clinton or Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, let's get together some people in rural Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
We put together 10 reds, mm-hmm. conservative, 10 blues, liberal, in a room for a weekend and just had these moderated conversations. And the cool thing about it was they brought in Bill Doherty, who is kind of a rock star marriage and family therapist in Minnesota. And he devised a workshop called the Red Blue Workshop
mm-hmm.
that through structured conversations, you can begin to listen to the other side and have the other side really listen to you. And these people spent a weekend together, and at the end of it, they came up with some surprising findings, and they were excited about what they'd found.
So he's a marriage and family counselor. So I'm imagining there's talk about, you know, you use I statements, you don't point fingers, you don't, you always do this, and, you know, you always do that. Can you walk us through a little bit of what that looked like on the upfront? You had 10 people from the reds, 10 people from the blue. Was it uncomfortable? I mean, I know you weren't there, but...
Yeah, well, in the beginning, it was uncomfortable mm-hmm. because you didn't know what to expect yeah. from the other side. And am I going to be attacked? Mm-hmm. Is anyone going to listen to me? Are they going to shout me down? Are they going to throw facts in my face? You know, what is going to happen? But Bill led them through it. Mm-hmm. And somebody asked Bill, which is harder, to help a couple on the brink of divorce or to help people who are on opposite sides of the political divide? And he said, oh, the political divide is much harder.
Wow.
Because we don't often have a relationship. We don't have a history. We don't understand each other. So he walked them through that. And the Red Blue workshop now that we do is a 1-day workshop mm-hmm. where we put, like, all the reds go in one room with a moderator and all the blues go in another room with another moderator. And you just talk among yourselves. We start out with what are the stereotypes that people have yeah. of us as a group? What are the unfair stereotypes? What do people say about us? And each group in their own room is listing these stereotypes on a big piece of paper. And you start to realize, wow, people are saying a lot of bad things about us, but we're not bad. Mm-hmm. And so you start saying, well, what is the real truth about us? And then we get to a point in that particular exercise where you think, okay, is there any little uncomfortable kernel of truth about what they're saying about us that maybe we need to acknowledge? And it is not at all to say, I'm totally wrong, mm-hmm. but rather, there's just something here that I need to have a little bit of humility about. And I think that's one key to opening up conversations.
I would agree with that. The little bit of humility on both sides. I mean, we can get very locked in and dig our heels in and all of a sudden become the 5-year-old who isn't going to let go of the toy or isn't going to give up that ideology that we have. But being fallible human beings, and like you said, we do tend to live inside our echo chambers. And I love that this was in person, because social media has sort of exacerbated this and amped up, turned up the volume on that. So by the end of this, going through this, the 10 reds and the 10 blues, I understand there was a documentary done on this organization as well. Some people actually walked out of their friends.
Yeah. So, for example, Greg Smith is a big Trump supporter, mm-hmm. Republican, a police officer, retired police chief. And he was there and he met Cuellar, who is a Muslim Democrat activist. They could not be more different.
Yeah.
And they became friends during the weekend, so much so that they wanted to see each other again after the workshop.
I love that.
And they decided they would go and visit each other's homes and visit each other's places of worship mm-hmm. even. So Greg brought Cuellar to the conservative evangelical church that Greg attends, mm-hmm. and Cuellar brought Greg to the mosque that he attends. And then I met them both at the founding convention mm-hmm. a year ago in Virginia. We also have a story that's online you can look up that ABC Nightline mm-hmm. did of Better Angels. And it's about 10 minutes. If you just were to Google search Better Angels, ABC News Nightline, it comes right up. And it's a wonderful little 10-minute description of how Greg and Cuellar came to the National Convention and what they saw there. And I'm in it for about 1 second in the middle.
At least you weren't cut out.
I'm looking thoughtful, you know.
Pensive. Yes.
And that's a great little 10-minute description of what Better Angels is, if you want to see it in action.
Yeah, it's been getting a lot of press. I've been seeing, I mean, I think the Federalist did an article on it. I've been seeing a lot more press on mm-hmm. it, because I think there's a real hunger for this out there. I know in my own personal life, I've found that when it's sort of working more within your sphere of influence and one-on-one conversations with people, finding someone who would be self-proclaimed, well, I'm a liberal and I'm a conservative. When we actually sit down and talk about core issues, I think almost 100%, maybe 99.9% of the time, we realize we actually have so much more in common with each other than we do far apart. We may, you know, we recognize what the problems are. We may have different ways of getting to solutions and different ideas. But to be able to have that one-on-one conversation, I think, is so critical. And so that's why I really like the model of Better Angels, putting people in a room together. And once you take away the screen, take away the keyboard, you look at someone and you look at their humanity, they're looking at your humanity. I can see how that is a recipe for success and maybe turning down the temperature.
Yeah. And when we are in a moderated situation, it's very safe.
Mm-hmm.
And we start to see things in common. That's one of the questions we ask after each of these exercises. What did you learn?
Mm-hmm.
And what did you see in common?
Yeah, that's important because, like I said, I think we have much more common ground. I think the vast majority of people really, to our friend James Masnoff, his term, radical moderates.
Nice.
I think most people, you know, are kind of, they're not really on the fringes. The fringes are the fringes for a reason. Most people are in the middle. We're trying to live our lives. We're trying to provide for our families. We have political ideologies and definite views on things, but I think most of us are in that radical middle.
Well, I do want to be clear that Better Angels is not trying to take red and blue and make purple. We're not trying to come to, you know, agreement on everything. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's just the opposite. We are trying to come to accurate disagreement.
Nice.
We want to see what the other person believes and understand, because, you know, you can talk on your own side and misrepresent mm-hmm. the other side, mm-hmm. and that's just not fair. You know, you can... If let's say you want to protect the life of the unborn, but someone is calling you a woman hater, well, that's just not fair. You know, if you want to preserve the rule of law at the border and someone calls you a racist, that's not fair because we're not hearing the nuances of your position. And that's so important in Better Angels. So everything we do, we're looking for that accurate disagreement, because this is a democracy and we have different opinions and we're all trying to live together. We need to understand different people's point of view. And we all have the right to stand up for what we believe and stand up against someone who's misrepresenting us. We just want to do that with civility and respect.
Well, let's dive a little bit deeper into that when we come back from our break. We will talk much more about that because there is more to talk to. But right now you are listening to Wednesdays with Denise on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Green Acres Landscape.
And we are back with Cynthia O'Brien from the Portland chapter of Better Angels. And we're talking all things civil discourse, how to communicate better, something that is so needed lately.
Listening.
Yeah. Before we went on our break, Cynthia, you were talking about the goal is not to change minds with this organization. So what is the goal?
Right. Well, the goal is, as I said, accurate disagreement, mm-hmm. That we are reaching across the political divide, person to person, one-on-one, respecting that other person and listening mm-hmm. to, you know, everybody believes what they believe for a reason. Mm-hmm. And what is that? You know, let's ascribe good motivations to people. Let's assume that we are all patriotic Americans who want the best for our kids and our neighbors and ourselves. So let's find out what people are holding as their core values and why they believe what they believe and see what we can learn.
It's interesting because you're right. Everybody's opinions and ideologies are informed by the life experience that they have. And none of us knows that about anybody else. But to have that opportunity to be able to share that, because I know, you know, from my, I've had motives ascribed to me that are simply flat out not true. And you don't necessarily have a chance to rebut the falsehoods that are out there. So having an opportunity to come in, and I think it's important, the moderated part of it and the, be, you know, to make that sort of a safe space to be come in there. I think everybody kind of, a lot of people, I'm not going to globally generalize here, a lot of people I've talked to are hungry for this, want to participate in this. There's fear. So I think with the moderation and having Better Angels as the overarching structure of this would be a welcome thing to participate in.
Yeah, sure. So in our Red Blue workshop, for example, which is an all-day workshop, we do an exercise called the fishbowl. And what we do is we pull in our chairs and we flip a coin, and one group, either the reds or the blues, let's say the reds, mm-hmm. will pull their chairs in close with a moderator mm-hmm. in a little circle. And the two things they're supposed to talk about just among themselves, one is why are our policies good for the country? Mm-hmm. You know, what makes our side good for the country? And we talk about that. And the blues are sitting just around the outside of the circle, mm-hmm. and their job is to listen. The people sitting on the outside actually have the harder job because you're listening without thinking about what you're going to say next, mm-hmm. which is, when do you ever get to do this, right? So you're getting to listen to a group of the other side talking among themselves, what's good about your position for the country. And then after we talked about that for a while, what are any reservations you might have about your own side? And all of us can think of things that we'd like to see better yeah. about our own side. And so we talk about that. And again, if the Reds are talking about that, the Blues are just listening without thinking about what they're going to say. And when do you ever get to be a fly on the wall and hear people talking not only about their passion and their hope, but also about their reservations? And then after that goes for a certain amount of time, then we switch mm-hmm. and the Blues would be in the center and the Reds would be listening. And nobody's talking to each other. Nobody's shouting at each other. We're just listening to the other side. Then we get together and we say, okay, what did you learn? And what did you hear in common? And what I often hear from people afterwards is, oh, I had no idea that they thought this mm. or that they thought that. Or, oh, because you believe, you understand that there are bad things about these programs, things that where they can go wrong.
Sure.
Since you're aware of that, I don't need to beat you over the head with it. And so it's a time when we reflect and we've learned some things about the other side. Now, oh, you might open your perspective about the other side, but nobody leaves these with their minds changed on core policy or mm-hmm. core values. However, by the end, we have really significantly changed our perspective on who those people are.
I think that is critical. Too often, you know, we talked when we first came on talking about stereotypes and the stereotypes that each side has about the other, and they almost become sort of caricatures. And you strip somebody of their humanity. You bring in the social media mode where you're sitting behind a keyboard, you're not interacting personally. I find so much value in that. Number one, listening. Most of us don't really listen. You kind of, and I'm guilty of this too. I'm formulating how I'm going to rebut, you know, yeah. instead of really just actively listening and just taking it in what the other side is telling me.
Yeah. When we're making a caricature of the other side, or when we're demonizing mm-hmm. the other side or ascribing evil motives to the other side, you know, there may be evil people out there, but mm-hmm. you're basically talking about a group of ordinary mm-hmm. Americans right. who want the best, you know, for the country. So when we are now, instead of saying like a snarky comment, yeah. it's really hard to do what you do online when that person is sitting right in front of you and she's a mother and she cares about her kids and she cares about her school and she has this experience and you're listening. Then you can't demonize. You don't want to say a snarky comment yeah. to her because that's just not the way you would want to be treated yourself.
I'm actually really tired of snark.
But it's so entertaining and it's energizing.
It is, but it's negative energy.
Right.
And I just don't find it useful. I mean, I've engaged in my fair share of snark. I'm not going to deny that. But I'm finding it's tedious. It doesn't solve any problems and it keeps people standing in their own corners for far too long. And meanwhile, these things continue to fester. Well,
do I hear you saying that you're on a journey then?
A little bit.
I mean, as a radio personality, as a citizen, I mean, has this whole idea kind of changed how you are approaching things?
It has. I've been actively involved in politics for about a decade. Came in with the Tea Party in 2009, 2010. 2016 was difficult. I wasn't a Trump supporter in the primary. It was difficult dealing with, you know, kind of my own side because I kind of was off the reservation a little bit there. And so that was hard. Also being in the public eye for a while, I had to deal with, you know, people who disagreed with me on the other side as well. Some of it got heated. There was some things that really were very difficult to deal with. It has tempered me a little bit. As I've walked through this journey, I'm finding things that seemed appropriate at the time really no longer are, and they're not helpful. So I'm looking for ways. I see the level of rhetoric and the heat being ratcheted up, and it makes me, I'm very concerned, frankly, for if this heated level, this snarkiness, the the polarization, the balkanization continues. I don't know how we recover from that if we can't jump back from the brink here a little bit. And so that's why I was very encouraged when I saw Better Angels, that I think this is a way for people, for reasonable people, for people, you know, who have good intentions and really want to reach out to the other side and to understand, not agree again, but to understand and to have a conversation to lower the temperature. So yes, to answer your question, yes, I have been on that and I'm very open to this, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on. And I wanted to share that with our listeners in case, and I have a feeling there are people who are listening who feel similar.
Well, when I was, long before Better Angels, I had a really good experience that for me was formative and I think paved the way to be here. And that is back in 2010, mm-hmm. during election year, I was with the Gresham Area Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm. And I was chair of the Government Affairs Council. And what that meant was that I got to moderate political forums and candidate forums, debates. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea I was going to love that so much.
Really?
but here we were in a room at Heidi's restaurant in Gresham, and we've got a group of, I don't know, 40, 75 business leaders, nonprofit leaders, elected officials, city workers, all together over lunch. And what we all wanted to do was learn about the candidates, learn about the issues, ask good questions. Mm-hmm. You know, the level of our questions started way beyond the commercials and the, you know, the hype, everything, but forming really good questions for the candidates and having an economist there explaining things to us about a tax structure. That was really exciting to me because we were all there to learn and support each other as a community, mm-hmm. And to really hold these candidates accountable in a respectful way.
Yeah.
And when that year was over, I thought, oh, this is what I want to do. You know, as a moderate, I do have a place in politics and in civic life. So when Better Angels came along and they said, we are training moderators nationwide so that Bill Doherty doesn't have to fly all over the country because that's not practical.
Right.
we're training moderators. And so now we have 12 certified moderators in Oregon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we have done workshops in every state. Which is really, really exciting. So what we do is we bring these workshops for free, mm-hmm. to communities. We have done them in community centers, businesses, churches, libraries. The Multnomah County Library made us an official program of the library. Mm. So we've been in lots of libraries. We've been in Wilsonville Library. We've had a workshop in Woodburn. We had a workshop in Grants Pass where we sent one of our moderators down because they didn't have one certified, mm-hmm. yet. And we do. We send moderators all over the state to communities that want to do this.
So I would imagine Grants Pass is probably very different than Multnomah County, a little bit different politics.
Oh, that was great because when the group started down there, they wanted to have this workshop. You recruit 7 reds and 7 blues for the red-blue workshop, and they recruited reds, conservatives, faster than blues, where in the Portland area, usually it's the blues are signing up a little faster than the reds.
That does not surprise me.
Nope.
We got to take another quick break. When we come back, I want to dig a little bit more into what it looks like in Oregon, how Better Angels works in Oregon. The dynamics of politics in Oregon are a little different. So right now we will take a quick break. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
We are back with Cynthia O'Brien from the Portland chapter of Better Angels. So, Cynthia, let's talk a little bit about, you know, dig into some specifics about some of the workshops, some of the things that Better Angels offers, so that, you know, people who are listening can get a sense of, you know, if they decide to want to participate in this, what they can expect.
Yeah. So the Red Blue Workshop is our signature, mm-hmm. workshop, about 7 reds, 7 blues in a room all day. It's wonderful.
And it's not a big group.
Energizing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's a small group, and we sit around a big table, like a rectangle of tables, and the moderators are at the front, and then everybody's sitting red, blue, all the way around. So from the get-go, you're sitting right next to the enemy on both sides.
So you got to get along right off the bat.
And I have this picture in my mind of the first red-blue workshop we did, where at the end we were asking, you know, what did you learn and what's your takeaway? And there was a retired physician, a liberal Democrat, mm-hmm. Sitting next to a Republican city councilor from a local city. Mm-hmm. And they put their arms around each other and they said, reds or blues are people too. And they were so adorable, like these very distinguished, respected, opinionated, intelligent men were just being really cute and saying, you know, we're people, you know, we're all people.
Yes.
That's... There are a lot more things that come out of the Red Blue Workshop than, you know, a cute friendship. Mm-hmm. And yet that just shows the warmth that we had through the day. And so even though it's a big commitment mm-hmm. to spend an entire Saturday from, you know, 10 to 5, by the time you get well into the afternoon and you actually start asking the other side questions, the moderators will let you ask any question you want to ask, but we frame it first. We spend some time framing that mm-hmm. question. So it's not a gotcha question, or it's not an attack, or it's not a question that's meant to actually show how superior I am yeah. and how dumb you are. You know, we really help that process.
I would think the mindset of somebody wanting to make that time commitment, that participation, would preclude them from being sort of wanting to do gotchas. I think they're there of goodwill.
Yes, except oftentimes you will say a gotcha question because that's just the easiest way to frame a question uh-huh. Where you're just, you know, well, you know, don't you think it's stupid that sometimes you can't help it. However, the other workshops, we offer a skill building workshop mm-hmm. that is about 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. We call it Talking Across the Political Divide. Mm. This is the one that the libraries love.
Okay.
And it's an everybody come. You don't have to sign up as red or blue. You know, anybody can come. We will do this workshop, by the way, all red or all blue or an everyone come, because we can do some special things if it's all one side that are really nice to help each side kind of depolarize themselves.
Can you give me a little bit of a flavor? Let's take red. What would an all yep. red look like?
Yeah. So we will look a little more closely at things that reds traditionally believe or promote. Mm-hmm. And then just play with that a little bit. Whereas in the big group, we're looking at more general
okay.
skills. So the skills we teach are active listening, paraphrasing, things that you probably already know how to do, but we're applying them to political discourse. And we had one in Woodburn where the mayor of Woodburn came mm-hmm. and he was telling me that he heard about Better Angels while he was running for mayor.
Mm.
And he thought that was a good idea to run his campaign that way. And he talked to his opponent, and his opponent said, yeah, that makes sense. So they agreed to have a kind of Better Angels campaign
wow.
where they were not going to just have personal attacks yeah. and slam each other or misrepresent the other person. Mm-hmm. And so they ran that race that way. And I had a member of the city council come to workshop, and they're really interested in that. Also, we've seen in other cities, like in Gresham, mm-hmm. Mayor Bemis mm-hmm. is constantly talking about civility and respect, and he says hate is not a Gresham value. Mm-hmm. And so the Better Angels way is really making its way into the cities.
That's good. You know, even sometimes at the municipal level, a lot of these races, they can, number one, get very, very expensive. But number two, they can get kind of heated and the rancor can be turned up. And, you know, you don't want to do personal attacks so much, but sometimes it tends to fall into that. So I'm very encouraged to hear the Woodburn mayor, the Gresham mayor, some city councilors, that there's local governments that are looking into this model.
Yeah, yeah. We also do something, it's brand new, it's called Better Angels Debates. Now, you've seen a political debate
yes.
where everybody's up there trying to get their,
yes.
you know, their thing in. And you have probably experienced a high school debate.
Sure.
But Better Angels Debates are different. They are a really fun and informative way to have a collective search for truth.
So you moderate those as well?
Mm-hmm. And they're just getting started. We've had one in Oregon and mm-hmm. we've done some online, and we're looking forward to doing more. And what we do is we find a topic that a group of people are interested in. Mm-hmm. So say you and me and Dave and some other people, we decide we really want to talk about a certain topic. then we think about what would be a good resolution, mm-hmm. you know, resolved, we should do this or that. Mm-hmm. And we look at some different resolutions, ways to frame the topic, and then we put it out to the group and we say, okay, which of these are you more excited about than others? Because you want people to be excited about talking about the resolution. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there's not going to be any energy.
Right.
And then you ask, which side of this are you on? Because you want to get a resolution where there's a good diversity of opinion. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, everybody's just going to be speaking in favor of it and nobody's going to speak against it. And so once you get that, and they don't necessarily line up conservative liberal either. It's just people who have a different opinion on the resolution. Mm-hmm. Then you can have your debate and people make speeches in the affirmative, speech in the negative. When people are listening, they can do this thing called banging, which is, you know, bang on the table uh-huh. or on your knee to show that you like what the speaker is saying. And we're finding, especially in colleges, college students love this.
Oh, I bet.
And as you're participating in the debate, you might have come in with some notes or perspective, something you wanted to say, but you listen to what people are saying and you let it flow organically from the previous speaker. You can ask questions, but you never speak directly to the other person.
Okay.
You don't say, well, I think that's stupid what you're saying, or why do you think that? You say, Madam Chair, could the speaker elaborate on such and such, which will defuse any potential attack. It's kind of not natural uh-huh. for us to speak to the chairperson of mm-hmm. the debate, but that's the beauty of it. So again, it's safe. And we've debated some interesting things. One was, should Confederate statues be removed from the public square?
Oh, wow. I bet that was a...
And that was a great debate. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily line up red-blue at all.
Was there a resolution to that?
Well, if you mean, did
Meaning
we...
Meaning within the group?
Did
you solve the problem?
We didn't solve the problem. No, but we really got a much better perspective.
And interesting that you said it didn't line up necessarily with whether red or blue, that there was a sort of a mix then. Because it's a hot button issue.
It is a hot button issue. But we talked about how, you know, a statue yeah. can really mean something deeply to a family mm-hmm. who honored that person, or it means something in history to the community. Some people say, well, maybe that should be in a Civil War museum and not in the square. And so those are great conversations mm-hmm. To have, and to have a little more understanding about where people are coming from.
Hmm. Did you participate in debate in high school, Dave?
I did.
Did you?
I did.
Would that be something you would be interested in doing?
Maybe.
Yeah, I find that, again, getting outside of your comfort zone a little bit, too. Do you have people that are, you know, want to argue maybe the side that they don't necessarily line up with? Do you see that?
So you can speak for the resolution, but later you could speak against it uh-huh. if you had something. Because, again, we want to understand the nuance
yes.
of other people's position. And so you might feel mostly in favor of something, but you have a concern. And also at debates, some people show up and they just want to listen. Like, I'm not going to make a speech. Mm. I just want to listen. And then halfway through, they think of something. And then you'll see somebody raise their hand sitting in the back and the chair will call on them and they'll get up and make a 2-minute speech.
Wow.
And it's great because they've been thinking and reflecting, and then there's something from their own experience. And in Better Angels, we ask people, just represent yourself. You don't have to speak for all Republicans or all
yes.
libertarians
yeah.
or all Democrats or all soccer moms or whatever. Just speak for yourself and what you believe and what your experience is, because that's meaningful.
Yeah.
We want to hear that.
Yeah, we're not a monolith. You know, all Republicans don't all think the same thing. All Democrats don't all think the same thing.
Heck no.
Oh, my gosh, no, we're not. We are going to take another quick break before we wrap up with Cynthia. You are listening to Wednesdays with Denise on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
So we are back with Cynthia O'Brien, who's representing the Portland chapter of Better Angels. And Dave, while we were on our break, you had a great question. We had a caller who called in who raised some concerns. You want to share a little bit about what the caller was talking about?
They were talking about how do you get some of the radical bigger groups together to talk about some of these issues that we've been talking about, or to get the whole group to be talking and seeing the other side without attacking each other. Because, for example, you have Antifa and you have the peace guys, and it seems like every other weekend they're attacking each other in downtown Portland, and they're not really getting, they just want to be on the news, it seems like. They're not really wanting to participate in the conversation. So how do you get these groups together to talk about the problems?
Yeah, and that is a great concern that Better Angels has. Somebody gave me a statistic that said that 93% of people in this country say we want to depolarize the national discourse. We want to listen. We want to understand. But that leaves 7% who may not want that.
And that's a big number.
Yeah. For me, as a moderate, and I have friends of very diverse political opinions, I try to be present and say, this is what I'm offering, and I can do this. And I'm reaching a lot of people who, you know, are very passionate about the causes that they are championing. And I respect that, and I want to hear from them, and I want to be helpful in whatever way I can. So our national website, better-angels.org, has a lot of resources. And when you join Better Angels at, you know, $12 a year, plugged for joining, you get access to so many great resources and training. And
there's conference calls. There's one on Wednesday as well.
Yeah, there are conference calls for all the members.
Yeah.
And then once a month, we have a conference call for the moderators. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we'll do an online debate. We had a leader of the Tea Party and a leader of Black Lives Matter who had a conversation, and we were able to be part of that. So we're doing that by bringing individuals together who are willing to have these conversations.
I think individuals is the key. And I think, you know, I talk about spheres of influence, and, you know, we talked about the two gentlemen, the red and the blue, who found each other and became friends. You have to wonder how that ripples then out. So, I mean, you may not necessarily be able to come at the macro level of a big entire group, but within your experiences as an individual and then sharing that with other, and the ripple effects out there has got to eventually start making an impact.
Well, I have become more thoughtful myself just from all the training that I'm receiving in Better Angels. I stop myself before I say something that is not going to be helpful.
Why do you have a filter?
I'm learning. I mean, we're all learning, right?
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. So in our workshops, you know, that's a key place that we can help. But also, just if you go to our website or our national website, you're going to find a lot of really wonderful information. Better Angels Media is one arm of Better Angels. And there are a lot of great articles. I read an article by a Southern Baptist who gave a Christian case for depolarization. Hmm. And he had some wonderful things to say about why Jesus would want us to have these conversations, you know. And he went on to say, I disagree with this, I disagree with this, I'm against this, and I want to have these conversations in a civil way, because I want to be treated, I want to treat others the way I want to be treated. And and there are a lot of people out there writing some really good things that I find helpful. They're on our website.
Okay. Yeah. The website is a great resource. I will, you know, I have joined the group. There's a conference call this weekend. I think it's discussing guns. And so, you know, Better Angels goes where, you know, they go to the issues. They're not afraid to tackle the issues and to bring people together to talk about that. And I just think that's so important. So, you know, if we've got listeners who are, whose interest is piqued by this, who, you know, maybe want to turn down the heat, turn down the rhetoric, be, you know, engage in more civil discourse in their own lives. I know you didn't mention Salem on the list of when you were saying in Oregon. So, you know, what can someone who's interested do to sort of get the ball rolling here in Salem?
We would very much like to do workshops in Salem and Kaiser and this area. Mm-hmm. And all it takes really to do a full red-blue workshop is one red and one blue.
That's
who
it.
Say, we want to work with you, and we have really good resources. Our workshops are offered free of charge. Mm-hmm. Usually a venue like a church or a business, you know, if you've got a conference room and a space to do it. We also will do the skills workshop, which it basically takes one person who wants to put on a skills workshop, and we'll send you a moderator, and you can publicize it, whether it's through the library or community center, anything like that. And we'll put it on for you.
So that's the 2-hour one. Mm-hmm. So we're not talking a big full Saturday commitment. It's 2 hours.
Right, right. We can do them on a Sunday afternoon or a midweek evening, or I'm working on one for a retirement community that will be during the day. So yeah, we're willing to work with you, and we'd love to hear from communities that would like to have this.
Yeah, I have a feeling there's interest in that. You know, again, being the capital city, we're kind of steeped in politics all the time. And as we're coming up on the 2020 session, you know, 2019 was contentious. It was angst ridden for a lot of people. So,
and coming up is Thanksgiving, right? So
right.
If you are planning to fly home for Thanksgiving, or you're having people for Thanksgiving, this is one of the times when, you know, you're with people you love, but I've heard so many people say, I can't talk to my uncle, I can't talk to my niece, my relatives in Texas don't understand me because I live in Portland. And so what we do is we give you some tools so that when you are with your family, you can have a one-on-one conversation with someone that is really respectful and loving and repair that relationship.
That is so critical. I keep seeing more stories popping up in the news, and also just personal talking to friends and things, where you're finding rifts and divides in families over politics.
Well, yeah. Not only that, but you know, somebody told me that on the dating apps, people now, it used to be that, oh, maybe I wouldn't date someone of a different race or religion, but now it's politics. And a very small percentage of people are willing to even have coffee with a person who voted for the other person. And if this is standing in the way of love, mm-hmm. then I feel it's my duty to do something about it.
We have a problem at that point. And really, when you think about it, you've got family relationships, you've got potential love relationships that are being stymied because of who you voted for.
Yeah, that's not good.
That is something that to me, that's a gigantic red flag when you see that. I mean, I've seen different editorials, people coming out saying, I can't talk to my in-laws anymore, so I'm going to remove them from my children's life because they voted for
awful.
Whomever.
Yeah.
That is heartbreaking.
Because we are ascribing bad motives to the other person.
Yeah.
And I think we can get past that. I really do.
I'm wondering, do you find people who have those sort of family challenges? Are they coming in to mitigate those? Not necessarily professional or just political in general, but family challenges.
Oh, every workshop I do, when I ask people, why did you come? Why did you accept this invitation? Somebody, more than one person, will say, it's my family.
Yeah. And on Thanksgiving or Christmas when we get together, don't talk politics. And don't talk religion.
Yeah, but then here's the problem. I mean, those are the two of the most important things in life,
right?
And if you're just avoiding that, you're avoiding some of the richest, most important things in our life together. I think there's a better way, I'm going to stick to that.
Good.
I agree with you. And we've always been taught, don't talk religion, politics, and money. But again, you're
money.
Right.
That's the other
money
one.
Is the other one. But you're right, because those are so key and so core to us as human beings. If we can't talk about those things, what's left to talk about but the weather and sports? Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah. How do you get more information again from Better Angels?
Right. At betterangelspdx.org. That's our local, or better-angels.org is the national.
Cynthia, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much.
10 seconds.
We got 10 seconds left to wrap it up and to say thank you for coming down. You need to make a drive down here. Hopefully we've piqued some interest and some people will getting in touch with you or me. They can contact me.
There you go. We'll see you tomorrow on Newsmakers.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.